fix your life for you today. Ernie, you come. It's at our pleasure to give to you today, our Father in the gospel. And people say, is he really your father? He's not my father earthly, but he's my father in the gospel. I grew up under this guy. Not just physically, but spiritually. And he is my father in the gospel. And I appreciate him today and for what he stands for. And I know that he's not going to give you anything except for what the Word of God says. And don't wait for an invitation. God has already moved this morning, church. You that need to pray, don't wait for some man to say, come and pray. If God's moved in your heart, you just make your way down an aisle. Find the closest aisle, get out of there and come down and take it up with the Lord. And let him change your life this morning. Our brother in the Lord, one day, not too much longer, and we want to lay our Bibles down. We want to preach no more.
Gene,
we're going to join in you singing. Down here, I can't sing much, but boys, you ought to hear me when I get home.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Pray for him this morning. Lift him up.
Bless you, brother. Thank you. Bless you. We've had some good times, ain't we, Brother Ron? But I got news. Not really news. It's old news. The best is yet to come. Isn't that right? Good morning, everybody. I guess it's still good morning, isn't it? Is it? Barely. But it's just a good place to be, isn't it? Is there any place else that you'd rather be today? I'd rather be here than be in Baltimore watching the Cincinnati Reds this afternoon, hadn't you? I'd rather be here than anything that the world has to offer. Because let me tell you something. When we worship, thank you, Brother Otto. I appreciate that. He knows these old vocal cords. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Worshiping the Lord and lifting his name up is the greatest thing there is. And let me tell you something today. For some of you, it may be looking for peace in your life. Some of you young marrieds, especially. Some of us are down the road place peace. We should know better than this. But a lot of people in their young married life, you know, they're looking for something that's going to give them peace. They think a new house will do it. They think a new automobile will do it. New furniture will do it. New this. That's the reason I think a lot of times, and I'm not cutting that. Don't come now and say that these things, that's all right. If God bless you to have those, that's good. But I'm telling you, there's no peace, no real peace in those things. And a lot of people are substituting the carnal things of this world, and they're calling it, that's where I get my peace at. And I'm going to tell you, that's only a temporary thing. And you know what? If you've had your eye on a new place and God bless you to get it, and it's just, oh, man, you know what? The glitter of that will fade in a little while. But I'm glad that a long time ago, old preacher was plying the gospel plow. Some of you will get this, some of you won't. Some of the youngers won't. But he had a hold of both handles of that plow. And he had her sunk to the beam. How many of you know what I'm talking about in the physical sense? And he plowed right through the middle of my heart. I was sitting on that side in that little country church. Be on your right side, my left side, back in the back of that church that Sunday night. And you know what? He told everybody in that crowd everything about me. He told everybody on me. I squirmed me down like a lot of people. He's talking about me. But I'm sure there were other people there that night that felt the same way. The gospel will get you. It'll get you. But I'm glad he told me about a man called Jesus. I told Brother Gene before they got up, I said, it's almost mind-boggling to think there in the scripture how that people in this world, we've got so many things. There's a lot of things that are... you know, even the theologians don't agree on. They study it, and they study it, and they study it, and they don't agree on. There's some gray areas out there. We just have to ask God and seek God for it. But I'm going to tell you something. God made the plan of salvation so plain to a man be a wayfaring man. Went on a little further, and he said, though he be a fool, he need not err therein. How in the world does people get so mixed up that they've got so many ways to get to heaven? Just one way. Capital J-E-S-U-S. That's the only way. He is the way. He said he was. He's the way and he's the only way. Well, I want to tell you, that preacher, and he plowed the gospel plow that night. Conviction filled my heart and my soul. And I got introduced to him. And not only did he become my friend, but I have had a relationship with him. And I'm going to tell you, the glitter has never left. It just shines brighter and brighter all the time. And I appreciate him for what he's done for us. We just don't get a picture sometimes of the real grief, of the real things that he went through in order to pay the price for us. I don't know something. I need to say this before I get into the scripture. I've got so many good friends that I ain't seen in a long time. Pardon my English. That I haven't seen in a long, long time. And I can't call your name because if I do, I'll leave somebody else out. And I don't want to do that. But some of you, I haven't seen you in a long time. Thank you for coming today. And let me tell you this. Isn't cross carriage, isn't God bless them good? Always. And I can't tell you how I appreciate them and love them down in my heart. I need to pass this along too. A friend's a friend no matter what. I have people, you know, all of us are here today, young and old, can identify with this. There's people that say, well, he used to be my friend. Y'all ever heard that expression? If somebody's your friend, they'll be your friend till the end. It doesn't. See, our friendship is not based on circumstantial stuff. Amen? If the Lord was my friend based on circumstantial stuff, he'd have ditched me a long time ago. But he didn't. And I want to tell you something. You're not my friend by what you do to me or for me. You're not my friend because of some circumstance in your life. Because that you have a great career or because you have this or you have that. You're my friend because I just love you. We have that attachment. I love you. And I'm going to tell you people, and I might have said this here before, Brother Roger, people said they used to be my friend. They're not my friend anymore. But that's hypocritical stuff. That's hypocrisy. And I'm glad that our Lord is not in that hypocrisy stuff. He's a real friend. And I'm glad my friends, and some of them that are here today, God's changed my mind. And I wanted you to turn to one of the simplest scriptures. And some of you can quote it all by heart this morning. And if you will, stand with us just a minute while we read this. Rest your feet, or rest your body, not rest your feet. Rest your body. And look at chapter 23 of the book of Psalms. That's just where the Lord wanted me to go. I wrestled with this. This really isn't where I thought the Lord wanted me to go. But God's made it plain to me that it is. And so, let's read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Before you sit down, verse number three, the first four words is my text today and my thought. He restoreth my soul. I want to think about it. You can be seated now. Father, I just pray that you just come in a mighty way this morning. Use me, Lord. I'm your servant. And Lord, I'm no count whatsoever without the touch of you in my life. And Holy Spirit, come and minister this morning to all that are here. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. David, in these scriptures, these familiar scriptures this morning, I couldn't preach this out with the help of my good preaching brethren that are here today and all this week. It's a good thing. It'd be a good thing if God would let you to have a preaching series on, just to preach on him. But I want to preach on the third verse, the first few verses. He restored my soul. We all know that David is the writer here. And I'm just going to give a few little things to go with this. And I want to preach to the sinner, and I want to preach to the Christian today as alive. And listen, God was preparing David here for a much bigger job. Most of us that are Bible readers know that David was a shepherd of the sheep. Physical sheep. Well, God used that on David. I'm sure there were times in David's life. I'll try to stay behind this microphone if I can so y'all can hear me this morning if I can. But I want to tell you something. David probably felt in his life like some of us have before. Why in the world has the Lord got me here? What am I doing this for? This seems to be such a low profile thing that I'm doing. Why is the Lord? What can the Lord possibly get out of this? I'm going to tell you, never question God. God, what he's doing, because God knows what he's doing. And so David, God was preparing David for a much, much bigger job way down the road. And what better training could there be for the job that he was going to get when he became king of Israel than to learn the lessons that he learned here on the backside of the desert with the sheep, with his father's sheep. And he said here in this verse, he restored my soul. David knew, my friend, in his own life. I want to take some physical things here today and show you some spiritual things in our own lives, if I can, for just these few minutes of time. First of all, David, we've already come up with that. Excuse me just a minute here. We've already come up with that. David was a shepherd. Now let's establish another thing here. God's got some under shepherds. Brother Roger, your pastor here, he's an under-shepherd. Brother Roger would stand here in a minute. If I told him to come and verify that, he'd say, that's right. I'm not the chief shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd. God's got a lot of under-shepherds out here that he has placed to keep watch over his sheep and to help them and to help restore them from time to time. So we get the picture here of where David was at. God gave him this lesson about these sheep and the circumstances of these sheep, and David knew in his own life that he needed a restoration every once in a while in the hand. How many of you need restoration every once in a while? There may be some here today that God's going to speak to, and he's going to bring you out, and he's going to restore you and get you back in the right place. I'm glad God's not only in the first I'm glad he's not only in the first time opportunity, but he's in the second and the third. I'm glad his blood keeps cleansing us. Aren't you all? Boy, and I think about that blood. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. You know where it was? It's from the perfect Lamb of God. The perfect Lamb of God. And he's the chief shepherd today. I just need to pass this along. I got so many things running through my mind. It's unreal. It's like up there at Union Station in Chicago. I got so many tracks running through here. It's unreal. But I was thinking about when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said he prayed until his sweat became as it were great drops of blood. And I thought about that and I studied about that. Did you all know that Jesus actually prayed? When he came out of that garden, when he came out of there, it looked like that he was sweating blood. The sweat, he had stayed out there and he had prayed, Brother Gene, until his sweat, it looked like blood. Somebody said, how can that be? Well, for those of you that want to look it up after a while, look it up on the computer and study about it a little bit. There is a term called hematidrosis. HEMATIDROSIS, hematidrosis, and it's something that happens, and not many people that's ever gone through this or ever had it happen to them. Sister Carla could probably talk about that better than I can. Not many people have had that happen to them, but there is such a, when there's such a physical, I mean extreme, physical strain on you and a psychological strain on you, both physically and psychologically, and all the pain and all that Jesus was going through there. And they say there have been a few people in society, not many, but a few that's done this, while the capillaries around our sweat glands will begin to leak through, and it'll it'll get tainted. Our sweat will become tainted. None of us that's ever happened to, but it's possible. That's what happened to Jesus, that those capillaries around the sweat gland, because there was such stress. Brother, I'm telling you, Jesus, he suffered like man has never suffered. And that term tells us that those capillaries, while they just kind of bleed through a little bit, that blood, it's not really a whole drop of blood, but it just taints the sweat a little bit, that it looks like that it's great drops of blood. Hematidrosis. Jesus' blood today, he shed it for all of us that we can have life and have it so abundant. I better get to my message. I'm glad he's the restorer today. He's the chief shepherd. So David, here I see him in this lesson. He sees those sheep. I need to get into this. First of all, he said down in verse number 4, the last few verses there, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want you to get something. He didn't say thy rod or thy staff, which would mean the same thing. But he said thy rod and. That's two different things, isn't it? We talk about simple explanation of that. Ernie came to Mount Carmel Baptist Church. But if I said Connie and Ernie came to Mount Carmel Baptist Church, two different people, isn't it? Two different things here. So many people today, and if you study up on this a little bit, have the shepherd that only the staff, that's all he had. But he had more than a staff. He had a rod. And what was that rod? In the shepherd's day on the physical side, he would take he'd get a little sapling out there, 2 or 3 inches in diameter, and maybe 3 or 4 foot long, and he'd cut that out and a handle in it, and he'd get very skilled with that rod, so that when the sheep got out of line, that he could actually throw that thing, just like David was with a sling, you know. He also, God put this rod in his hand for those shepherds. Listen, so that when they got out of hand, Brother Larry, they could just sling that thing. They were just very accurate with it, very skilled with it. I'm going to tell you what that rod, it's emblematical today to the Word of God. Listen, and as the shepherds used that, my friend, it hit the mark. I'm glad the Word of God, it'll hit the mark every time. A rod. Them unruly sheep is always getting in something that they shouldn't have been in. And that's the reason God gave David a rod and he gave him a staff. The rod is emblematical to the Word of God. You remember when Moses was up on the mountain, and he was curious because there was a bush on fire and God speaking out of that bush, but the bush wouldn't burn up. Put off your shoes, Moses, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. Well, I want to skip on through that and send you on down to Egypt. God had a job for Moses to do, and God put a rod in Moses' hand. Brother Kenny, when he's down there, and when Moses lifted up that rod, you know what he was saying? Thus saith the Word of God, my friend. It was emblematical to the Word of God, and that's the way it was with these sheep when they got out of line. It was emblematical. I'm going to tell you, for you that are sinners today, the Word of God, as I spoke a while ago, it'll get you. I thought the preacher's telling everybody on me and telling everybody everything I'd ever done. And he was. But you know what? When you're guilty of sin, the Word, the rod of God will get you. Won't it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It'll get you. And here I got a picture of these sheep as they were out there, Jason, and they, and you know something about the shepherd? He knows every one of his sheep. Do you know he knows you? You said, me? I'm a little nobody. You're nobody. You're somebody. Because if you belong to God, you're somebody. And if you don't belong to God today, you can get in the fold and you'll be somebody. Listen, somebody said, well, you're bragging on yourself. No, I'm bragging on what God's done for me. And I'm glad the door's open for everybody, that they can get in. Amen. The shepherd knows every one of his sheep. And he knows them by name. Here's another thing that the shepherd knows. John chapter 10 will tell us about some of this stuff. He knows them by name, But he not only knows them and knows them by name, Brother Rod, but he knows how many they are. He's got us all numbered. He knows the number. I've told you, I've preached so many times before, I know you've heard me tell you this before, but when I was in Israel several years ago, and we were in Jerusalem, we had come out of Jerusalem, we were kind of done with Israel. We had been there a few days, and we just took a bus ride down through the south side of Israel and came down through the desert there. We took a sack lunch with us and put it up in the bus and something to drink, and we traveled about all day. We went on down through that desert in the bus, and we got down to the Suez Canal. All of you know, and if you don't know, the Suez Canal is a man-made canal, so there's no bridges over that. It's a deep canal that man has built years ago so they could connect the Mediterranean Sea with the Red Sea so that they could get seagoing vessels through there. Well, we got down there, and I could talk about that a lot, but I'm not going to. I don't have time to do all that. But we got down there, and we had to wait until we could catch a ferry to take us over to the other side. We were headed to Cairo, Egypt. And when we got down the way a little piece, I got across the Suez Canal and got down the way a little piece, while there was a bunch of people, there was a bunch of shepherds. You talk about a desert land, just desert everywhere. And there was a bunch of shepherds that I didn't know at that time, but then I figured it out real quick. Go, there's a bunch of sheep. There's 200 or 300 sheep out here, and they're all together. And there's a bunch of men out there. And then it dawned on me, that's shepherds. And they got their sheep and they're leading them out. I'm glad the Lord leads us out. I'm glad He leads us out to pasture us. And part of that leadership is the correction, is the restoring us from time to time. We're an unruly bunch of people. We want to run our mouth where we don't have any business. We want to run our neighbor's affairs and forget about our affairs. We want to tell everybody else how to do, but we don't want to spend much time on ourselves. What the sheep sometimes they do, and they get out. The Bible said in the book of John, Jesus was talking about it in chapter 10. He said, my sheep know my voice. And he said, a stranger will they not follow. I got a real upfront physical lesson on that when I was down there. Listen, I'm going to tell you, some of you ain't from the South. Now, I'm from the South. All of our people's from down in Clay County. Some of you all from Tennessee. God will forgive you for that. But listen, a lot of us are from the country, you know. And I'm going to tell you, if you get down in Clay County where we're from, and you still yet today, and you get on one of them side roads down there, and two people stop going different directions, and they stop talking to one another, ain't no use of doing like we do in Ohio, or they do in Chicago, and lay down on your horn, because them people's going to talk till they get done. Amen. How many of you know that? Because they figure these people don't need to be in that big a hurry anyhow. We got important business to take care of here. I got to talk to this man about his family. And they just take their time. They're not intimidated by that. Well, the reason I said that is because these shepherds weren't intimidated by us with that. We was in a $300,000 Mercedes-Benz bus. There was all of that, and there were no buses behind. We was out there by ourselves. Yeah, I can't draw a picture of this, but it's just desert. Yeah. We just crossed the Suez Canal, maybe 10 miles back down the road, headed to Cairo. Nothing but desert. And there as them shepherds was with 100 or 200, 300, they might have been 300 back. I don't know. And I thought, Brother Larry, they only surely get out of the road. But they was just like down in Clay County, buddy. They stayed right there till they got their business done. But you know what? And I've read this scripture so many times, I ought to have known that. I thought, well, how are they going to get all them sheep separated, you know? How in the world are they, there's a bunch of shepherds out here, how are they going to get all those sheep separated and go their separate ways? Well, when they got done, I tell you, the driver shut our bus off. That's how long they talked to one another, 10, 15 minutes or maybe 20 minutes. And we sat there. He said, we just have to take our time. They'll get done after a while. And he waited. We were just patient with them. And they got done. And this is what happened, folks. The shepherds made them. I could hear them. The bus wasn't running. I could hear them. Them shepherds made a sound. And they talked to their sheep. And them sheep just separated out into their folds. And listen. I got to get down here. Separating them out. I'm telling you, if you're one of God's, you know the voice of the shepherd. There's no voice like it at all. A lot of good points important points I want to bring you this morning. But I need to pause here to tell you something about my granddaughter. Maybe I told you all about this. Shelby, our oldest granddaughter. She got under conviction. And I'm sure I've told this here before, but she got under conviction, you know. She was just in trouble. Well, I like to see that. People getting deep sorrow, conviction, buddy. This stuff of people reading you a little scripture on the sidewalk. You'd be silly to say, do you want to go to heaven you die? You'd be a dummy to say, no, I don't believe I want to go. Well, everybody wants to go to heaven. Loretta Lynn wrote a song one time about that, didn't she? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And everybody wants to go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you, and they'll read a little dry scripture to them sometime and bow their head and have a little prayer and tell them they're all right. I'm going to tell you, there's an element called being drawn by the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad He'll come and He'll get in places. You're in trouble. You've been there, haven't you, Don? Get in trouble, buddy. That's what the gospel will do. And they got in trouble. I don't need to get into all the elements of that. I just need to tell you, Shelby was in trouble. I mean, she come to the house, and I don't know where she stayed all night. I was there during the day, and we was laying across the bed, and she said, Papa, I need to talk to you. And I said, I think I know what we're going here. And I said, I just spell it all out to me, honey, all you know. And I said, Papa, I'll try to help you. And we was laying across there, and she started crying. And she said, I just felt like that the Lord's been speaking to me, you know, and things are going on in my life, and what it is, conviction had come, and she is feeling bad about her sins. And I thought, she said, how do I know she didn't say the Lord speak to her, she just felt conviction, you know. And I said, I thought for a few minutes, I said, now how can I tell this young lady in some common language that she could understand? And then God gave me something. And I told her, I said, honey, if there were 500 fellows out here, and you were standing over here by yourself where you could hear them, and all those 500 fellows said, Shelby. And then I said, I stepped up and I said, Shelby. I said, could you distinguish my voice over all those 500 fellows? She said, Papa. She said, I'd know your voice over anybody's voice. I said, you'll know the voice of Jesus over everybody else too. Holy Spirit, can you all vouch for that? He speaks, man, He speaks. And listen, so Jabez said, He restored my soul, the rod and the staff. The rod, emblematic, the word of God. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Now listen, and I just need to say a few more things about that rod. See, sometimes them sheep would get out there and they're in the fold and they'd wander out away from the fold. You've got them here probably, Brother Roger, and we've got them all over the world today. If we could just get them all gathered in and let the Lord restore them. You talk about changing this world that we live in, it'd be changed, Jason. We don't need a $5 billion Blue Ribbon Committee in Washington to tell us what's wrong with our country. We've already been told. We just don't want to do it. He told us way back in the book of Chronicles, my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and forsake their wicked way and return to Him. He promised, I'll forgive their sins and I'll restore them. Restore their nation. That's what we need to do. But you can't tell some of these hard heads up there, it's got everything figured out, you know. They think they've got everything figured out. And as sheep, sometimes we think we've got everything figured out. Sometimes God brings things through the back door. For me, I think it's a back door. It's really the front door, but it's a back door to me. Listen, so I just see this in this scripture. He said, so we think about the rod. Now these sheep get out there and they get unruly. And they, what happens? They start venturing out into shadows, away from the fold. And sometimes people quit, they start missing church, you know. First thing they do, start missing on Wednesday night. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, before you know it, Satan will have them missing on Sunday night. Yeah. The old preacher said one time, and I followed him up, and it's the truth, because I know about that. He said that Christians today are kind of like an old car. They miss, start missing before they quit. You're a good indicator, isn't it? But you know, they start, these sheep get out there around that perimeter. They just start, they think things look better out there. I want to say to us today, I'm just preaching what God laid on my heart today, folks. Just bear with me. And they start venturing out there. You know what the shepherd does? He knows his sheep. We've already covered that. He's got them all numbered, and he sees you out there. You're out there where you ought not to be. Listen, and you know what's out there in that darkness, in that shadow? There's the lion and the bear and the wolf. I'll tell you, Satan will draw you out there because Satan has come to kill and destroy. He don't want you to have any happiness in your life. God saved you, and He'll take care of you. But just because we're saved, He still gives us a mind to think with. Excuse me if this hurts your feelings, but some people think when we get saved that we are that if you do something wrong or you make a bad decision, you must not have got saved to start with. Well, I'm going to tell you, how many of us Christians today have made some bad decisions since we've been saved? So that ain't true, is it? When the Lord saves you, the Holy Spirit moves into you. So there's a new you on the inside. But sometimes there's never been a thing in our lives but what when we go to do it or say it, but what the Holy Spirit will speak to us. But you know what we'll do? We'll let this old outer fella supersede and go right on over top of that. How many of you have done that before? How many? How many? We got more perfect people here than I thought, Brother Rob. And we supersede that. Well, that's getting out there and going on and on. We get thinking we know more about it than God does. These sheep, they thought they could just take care of themselves. I can take care of myself. I'm big and I'm holy. I don't care if you're a pastor of a church or if you're a deacon in the church. We've got to have the great shepherd. Brother, listen, we got to have the shepherd to take care of us. And they get out there, Brother Don, and you know what happened? The shepherds see them out there. That's what's happened to me a few times. You get that rod? He's so skillful with, I'm making some allegories here. You got to stay with me. And he'd take that rod and he'd throw it at me and he'd hit me. Somebody said, well, that hurt. The gospel hurts. Some people even get offended at it. Hey, some people just go out to church and say, I ain't going back there no more. He just hurt my feelings. Well, I'd be checking up if I was you and see if you really are part of the fold to start with. See if you're part of it. Because it hurts. I've been hurt with it. I remember my daddy, he was a firm believer. Now, my daddy never abused me in my life. Dr. Spock tore us up in this country. Bless his heart, he's done going on. I hope he got things right. But when he wrote that book, what we was doing, I thought about you. Excuse me, I got to laugh a little bit here. Gene was up here with that duct tape while I go taping these wires down. And made me think of that thing I seen. It's been around for a while. Time out for a hillbilly time out. You all see that? Had this youngin' up on the wall and they had him duct taped to the wall. Dr. Spock has ruined us in our time today. But on the other hand of that, there are people that abuse their children. There's people that'll hit their children in the head. They'll abuse. I know that. I realize that. But let me tell you something. We can't get by, and that's not everything that's wrong with our society. But that's we're raising up a bunch of people that just think they're the law. They don't have to answer to anybody. They have no correction in their life. Well, let me tell you something. God don't let His sheep go like that. David didn't let his sheep in his writings go like that. Listen, the Bible said, and even in Proverbs, we just Do not let our children go like that. We punish them, and it hurts sometimes. I remember when I was a child, my dad whipped me. Man, I thought he didn't abuse me. He didn't. I don't think it hurt me too bad. I'm not too bad off, am I? Some of you've been there, haven't you? I never had to get too many whippings from my dad because he done a good job when he done it. And I feared him. But I loved him. Some people can't understand that. Common day psychologists can't understand that, how you can fear something and still love it. Well, I fear God, but I love Him with all my heart. I know the wrath of God. Well, let me tell you something. David, here was a lesson with those sheep. I was going to tell you this. My daddy, he used to, I remember one time particularly in my life, I thought, well, I'm just going to run away from home. Man, ain't nobody, he don't like me, they don't like me. I'm just going. It didn't take me but just a few minutes to realize. I thought, well, I just need to get my stuff together and get out of here. It didn't take me long to realize that he was providing the roof that was over my head. He was filling my belly with food. He was loving me and training me. Didn't take me long to realize. I just had my feelings hurt and I better suck it up because he's right and I'm wrong. That's what we need to do with God. Amen. And they'd get out there and they'd get out in the shadows. I need to get home real quick here. What happened too, they'd get out there, Brother Gene, around some of them poison weeds. I've seen no cow. We used to have a cow when I was growing up, and I'm telling you, she'd be in a pasture with green grass up that high, and she'd be stretching through the barbed wire fence. Her neck had them wire stretched to reach over and eat grass on the other side of the fence. And I thought, what is wrong with you? That's the way we are. I mean, much different. God's got us a good pasture, and we want to stretch our neck out somewhere else. Huh? You see, ain't you kidding? They will, won't they? And so they get out there, you know, and there's them poison weeds that's out there. And not only the wolf and the lion and the bear that wants to destroy them. And David was being the shepherd, you know, to them, and he'd correct them. But every once in a while they get out there. Some of you may be out there today. What's a poison weeds? I'll tell you what the poison weeds are. There's a lot of our people that get out there and get out too far, brother, and they get out there and they get poisoned with poison doctrine, bad doctrine, brother, in their hearts and lives, and they get all messed up. Then they don't know what they believe. Satan loves that. All you have to read is just read the book of Galatians when you go home. Paul wrote that book to them people because you know what? They were straight when he wrote that book from Antioch, probably about 53 AD. And he wrote that to them because you know what happened to them? They turned from the gospel that he preached to them. And they were being seduced by other doctrines. That's what them poison weeds is in the medical too. Get out there and get seduced by strange doctrines. That's not the doctrine of God's word. And we've got a lot of it going on today. And it poisoned them. So, and then another thing would happen to them. They'd get out there and they'd get lazy. How many lazy Christians have we got today? We want to complain a lot. We just don't want to do anything. We just won't do nothing. Somebody else will do it. I had a little poem one time about somebody, nobody, anybody. And it went through a big rigmarole, you know, and the end of it was nobody done it. See, when you get lazy, like these sheep, they get lazy, and David knew that. They get out there, and they have this wool all over them, and they get out there, and they get their belly full, and they start laying down, and they're out there in a danger zone. And they start to get down, and they lay on their side. And what happens, see, there's an old English term called a cast sheep, and sometimes when the sheep gets down, and they get mixed up in all that stuff, and they get their bellies full, and they get all messed up, while they wind up with all four legs sticking right straight up in the air. And then the shepherd has to go, I'm glad that he'll leave the 99 and come and seek that one that's lost. Aren't you all? Amen. I am. Yes. I'm glad of that. Amen. He'll come and he has to come. Roger, come here, man. He's out there and he's away from the fold, and he's in danger. I've got that one.
So he's on his back. Well, first of all, he turns him over. Gets him on his, trying to get him on his legs, rubbing them legs, trying to get the circulation. Well, circulation's gone. Here's something I left out for you, Roger. When a sheep gets cast, they're helpless. Can you help yourself? How many of us have been there? I'm glad somebody's done today. I'm glad the good shepherd's walking through.
Yes.
And he sees you. Sees you. Get the spiritual part of this.
Yes.
And then sheep that was the physical part, they paralyzed. All the circulation's gone. They can't stand. They can't walk. Certainly can't run. And he just rubs on them. And you always say it all the time. What am I going to do? You call me your name. What's wrong? Get out here.
Yeah.
He's speaking to him sternly, but loving.
Yeah.
You can do this. You're going to have to stay over here with us. The lion would burn us out of here. Because you're in a vulnerable position. They want to destroy you. He keeps loving on you. He gets him straightened out of time. He gets him on his feet.
Yeah.
Walking to him all the time. Then he puts him right back over. That's my good shepherd. Because he cares. And he knows everyone. He restored my soul. He restored my soul. You know what else makes a cast sheep? We get too much, sometimes they get too much wool on them. I'm switching from the physical. You all getting the picture, aren't you? We call it allegory. But you're switching. And them sheep in David's time, they get too much wool on them. And that wool represented a type of worldliness. Got too heavy. And it's easy for them to get cast in when they got all that in them. And you know what else they get in that wool? They start getting sticks and dirt and everything in that wool. And they get parasites in there too. I read in the book of Ezekiel. I can't think of that scripture right now. Seemed like it's around chapter 20. I'm not sure. But when he's talking in there, but he said all the sheep when they cast over and come through over the door. Come through the door that they had to pass under the rod. What did we say the word of God was? The rod was the word of God. And he'd pass over the shepherd's rod. And when they come through there, he'd take that rod and run through that wall. He can spot them parasites and things that are not in there. You know what has to happen? An experience that's not one that's a joy to the shepherd or to the sheep. They have to shear them. Have you ever been sheared before? Come on. You know I'm talking about spiritually. Have you ever been sheared before? Roger, you got a lot better people here, some of them I've preached to. Them people down in Kentucky, I didn't preach the same message, but they won. You got a lot better people here. No, I'm just teasing. I know they. I want you to understand what I'm saying. You know what? I've been sheared a few times, Brother Larry. You know what happened? Sometimes the shepherd, he get a little close and nick me. It's not a pleasant experience, but it's to keep that worldliness out. Keep the worldliness out. You know what's the matter with American people today in the church world? We're too attached to this world. It's like it's all that matters. Some of those things I mentioned to you a while ago, if we don't watch, we'll get caught up in all that. We live in a sports arena today. Jay, what was that woman said about that God, about some other country about that. They didn't want to come in this country because he said we was too,
Sports gods.
Huh?
Our churches were sports arenas.
Come up here and tell us about that. Just take a second and do that right quick. Yeah.
No, there was a...
That's all right.
Missionary.
Don't bother my preaching.
There was a missionary that team. She said, that's your God. She said, there's fast food all over. She said, big arenas to sit 60,000 people and you go worship. She says, that's your God.
That's pretty close to it, folks. But that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
We'll listen, but I'm glad the Lord, our shepherd, is a restorer, aren't you? And not only that, let me say this, and I'm coming to close right here pretty quickly. As another thing, see, when they get out there and we think about the shepherd will put you in a leaner pasture sometime, but I'm a little ahead of myself. That worldliness that we get in us, you know, we get too occupied by the things of this world. And I think all of us has got a little moving up place, haven't we? We need to be restored to where we can just we want to do our best. All that counts. Me and Connie talked about that on the way up here this morning. I said, you know, Connie, and we talked about it at breakfast this morning. See, Mike, that was a central thought, mine and her thought today, and maybe yesterday when we studied the Word of God together. We study together. We read. I'm having to read it all now. Connie's got cataracts on her eyes. She can't see and too well. And I need to say that, Connie. If somebody pass up and say, Connie's got the big head. No, she ain't. She just can't see you. That's what's wrong. Anyhow, we in our study, you know, I'm talking about that and reading the Word of God. Seemed like that's what it was. You know what? Folks, listen, me and you are on our way out. I don't care what we do in this world. It'll soon be forgotten in this world. But what we do for Jesus is all laid up in heaven. It's a treasure. Right? So fat, we don't need to be fat in the world. We don't need to be. Here's another thing. We don't need to have that worldliness. Well, fatness was another thing that was wrong with those sheep. Some like Jay was talking about, they get out and they start eating things and we just get fat. We don't want to exercise for the Lord. I'm talking about the spiritual side now. We think about ourselves all the time. It's all about me in this world that we live in. I'm sorry, this may be a little hard, but it's the truth. It's all about me, seem like, in our society we live. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about Him. Bringing glory and honor to Him. And sometimes them sheep would get out there and he'd get fat. But what the Lord would have to do, He'd have to put them in a leaner pasture. You get out there and all this. Let me tell you something. If you want to switch over there or turn over there or read it sometime later to the in the book of Revelations in chapter 3, we find a church. We find these people that were in the same category as these sheep that were fat. You know, these Christians today. I didn't know I was going to say all that. These people today that think if they're doing good physically and everything looks good to them, then everything's great. Look at me, I'm doing great. Let me tell you something. If it's just you that's doing great in your own eyes, let me tell you what the book, you know, seven churches of Asia. Did you know that out of those seven churches, God sent a letter of rebuke to five of them? Yeah. Listen to this one, the last one, the Laodiceans. This is what he said. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now listen to verse 17. I'm getting ready to close. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Does this say something about the American church today, a New Era church or whatever you want to call it? Church of Babylon probably be a better thing to say. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's my message today. Brother Roger's going to come. Cross Carrier's going to come and sing an invitation song for us. Brother, as they come and play this morning, I want every head to be bowed, if you would, in this church this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor stands here with us this morning as the cross carriers get ready to sing. I'd just like for you to ask me, every head. I'm not going to come back to you, every head bowed. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not, and I won't come back to you. I won't embarrass you. I've seen enough of that in my life. I won't do that. But if you're here today, listen, as the cross carriers begin to play, I wonder if you're here and you're not a Christian today. You couldn't lift your hand a while ago when Brother Roger asked that question. I wonder how many of you today, if you was to die, that you couldn't say that heaven would be my home. I wonder if you'd just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. I will. I promise. I'll pray. I'm not going to come embarrass you, but I'm going to pray for you right now." Would you just lift your hand? How many of you here this morning? I'm not saved, preacher. I'm not ready. Just lift your hand. Put it right back down. Anybody anywhere, young or old? How many Christians are here this morning and say, "Brother Ernie, now I'm going to do you the same thing. I'm going to pray with you, pray for you." How many of you lift your hand and say, "Brother Murray, the message has gripped my heart this morning. God spoke to my heart, and I need restoration. I need a real moving up place. God bless you." Just put that hand, put it right back down. Put that, thank you, put your hand down. Anybody else? Just lift your hand. I'll see it, but I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless that hand. Anybody else? That's a good step this morning, just recognizing, boy, I need to move up. This church needs you. God's church needs you. You know what today? Let me say this just real briefly. If I don't do anything, Brother Raj, the church of Christ, the church of God's going to move right on. It's going to go on. God can get along without me, but I can't get along without Him. But He needs me. He wants me to come. How much easier it is to get the job done when everybody is submissive. Is anybody else that say, "That's me. I need restoration." Father, we thank You for this time that we've had to come to fellowship with one another, and time that with Your sweet fellowship we felt from You this morning. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the cross carriers and the sweet, sweet songs and the Holy Spirit that just seasoned it this morning. These hands have went up, Lord, that need a touch. They've been touched. Lord, they need restoration. Some here that need to be saved today. God, I pray that right now as we get ready to sing this song of invitation, that they'll purpose in their heart to make the mighty decision to come. And let this be a day of salvation, or this be a day of a brand new start as a Christian, that I'm going to live for Jesus. That's all that counts. That's all that counts. I pray for them this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say before we sing this song, there's only two things that matters in life, folks. And that's what you've done with Jesus and for Jesus. So I'm going to ask you that lifted your hand this morning, Brother Roger, pastor's here. I'm going to ask you to come. I'd love to pray with you right around this altar. I want you to get satisfied today. Start a new life in Jesus. You're out of fellowship. Start a brand new life. Satan will keep you out there till you die. Don't let him do that. Don't let him cheat you. Jesus has done too much for me just to lay down and roll over and become a cast sheep, Brother Rod. Jesus has done too much for me to say, "Oh, well, let somebody else do it," or me just drag along. Won't you get up? Somebody said, "But I'm old," or "I don't know enough to do this." Hey, get in there. The Lord will teach you. And if you're older, God could use you to be an instructor to help those that are younger. There's people here right now that need to come. I know dinner's waiting for us downstairs. That'll wait. That'll wait. Right now is the most important time of the service. I wish I could just tell you how important it is. I can't think of the words. I don't know whether there is words or not to tell you of the importance of the decision that you're about to make right now. Please say yes and come. Maybe you need to come and shake hands with the pastor and tell him what's on your heart and then pray. Or maybe you just need to come and tell him about it when you're praying. They may be people here that's been Christians a long time and you've just got sidetracked. Come on. The Lord loves you and He'll We need you, don't we, Brother Roger? We need you. I'm the least one among you. Let me tell you that. I'm the least man, the one among you. But God's got something for me to do. He's got something for you to do. Let's sing. Let's stand. And come. Come right now.
Jesus came to this world. Great is glory. Just outside the sea. Come, let this be the day. With compassion for those who are now.